The reading is from Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it's lovely to be with you here this morning. And I'm so sorry to give this apology to your rector, Dave, for being late this morning. I feel like, you know, when you go to school and you're late and the teacher calls you, "Why are you late, Ferguson?" And so I was late, mainly because my wife didn't come with me today. And she usually is the one that keeps me straight. She's usually in the passenger seat talking away to me. And she'll usually say, "You're on the wrong road." She's done that many a time. You're on the wrong road, so I apologize. And when I got to the church, I couldn't find a place to park on the main road there, Glasgow Road. So I went around the back, and I tried to go through the gate there. I got through the back gate. And then I was faced with all these doors, and I ended up somewhere else, and somebody says, "Oh no, you've got to go through that door up the stairs." And so I eventually got here, and as I stood at the door to come in, I could see your rector's face with a real sigh of relief, just, "Wow, he's here." So I'm really sorry. I do apologize. So today we're looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and I believe that last Sunday you were looking at Jesus' exchanges with the Sadducees, and your rector Dave pointed out that there were no grey areas with Jesus at all. And as these Sadducees and Pharisees tried to trap Jesus, they found that Jesus was more than able to rebut their attempts to trap him. And so, following on from that, we come to another man who comes up to Jesus, and he's been listening into the conversation that Jesus has been having with the Sadducees, and he is impressed by the way that Jesus is answering the very question that he is asking. We'll come to that in a minute. But may I just read to you the same passage from the Passion Translation. It has one or two nuances there which I found really quite helpful. So let me just read to you what the Passion Translation says. "Now a certain religious scholar overheard them debating, and when he saw how beautifully Jesus answered all their questions, he posed one of his own, and he asked Jesus, 'Teacher, which commandment is the greatest of all?' Jesus answered him, The most important of all the commandments is this: the Lord Yahweh, our God, is one. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is this: you must love your neighbor in the way you love yourself. You will never find a greater commandment than these. And so the religious scholar replied, "Yes, that's true, teacher. You spoke beautifully when you said that God is one, and there is no one else beside him. And there is something more important to God than all the sacrifices and burnt offerings. It's the commandment to constantly love God with every passion of your heart, with your every thought, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself." When Jesus noticed how thoughtfully and sincerely the man answered, he said to him, "You're not far from the reality of God's kingdom realm." And after that, no one dared to question Jesus again. So this lawyer, this man comes up to Jesus and he comments. Now, some of the commentators I've been reading suggest that this man is coming with a desire to trap Jesus again, and I don't actually think that's true. Because at the end, Jesus says, "You know, you're not very far from the kingdom realm." His question is sincere. And this man, a lawyer, he's not just the lawyer, he's a teacher of the law. And he's probably been listening and observing the conversation that Jesus has just had earlier on about marriage and death. Now, when Jesus says the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, etc., and love your neighbor as yourself, he is, as it were, summing up just what is at the heart of God's commandment. When the lawyer says, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment?" He wasn't just referring to the Ten Commandments, as you and I would know. He was referring to, there was about 612 commandments that this lawyer himself would be teaching his students. So out of all those commandments, which is the first? And this question, what is the great commandment? It was a hotly debated topic amongst rabbis in Jesus' day. They would often gather together and look at the commandments, and they would try to sum up what would be the most important commandment. And the lawyer realizes that not all the commandments are of equal importance. Now, take the Ten Commandments and let me ask you this. Which of those commandments, the Ten Commandments, take pride of place for you? Are they equally important? We know everyone is important, but what is the biggest and most important commandment in those ten, would you say? No other gods but me? No idols? No blaspheming the name of the Lord? It's a hard one to ask, to answer, and Jesus doesn't even mention any of those commandments at all. He takes the lawyer back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, and that is where we hear Jesus saying, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But Jesus is the first rabbi to then put two scriptures together, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 and Leviticus 19 and verse 18. And if you go to Leviticus 19 verse 18, it says there, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus welds those two commandments together. And it might have been a surprise to that lawyer, in fact. So Jesus gives him two commandments and not just one. Because you cannot separate these. They are both integrally connected. Love God and love one another. That's what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, 8. He actually said, regarding those commandments, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses. That was what they were to do. These commandments are so important. Love the Lord your God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, one of the highlights of my year, well, one of the highlights of my life was in 2018 when I went with my son to Jerusalem 2000, the GAFCON conference. My son Daniel and Dave and Ali were there, and Miller and Allison were there, and we were in Jerusalem. And we would see many Orthodox Jews with small leather boxes strapped to their left wrist and another one strapped to their forehead. And in those little boxes were these fragments of scripture. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. Fix these words, says Moses. Fix these words of mine in your hearts, in your minds, and let them be as symbols on your wrists and on your forehead. The little boxes were called phylacteries. That's good, isn't it? Phylacteries. I notice your rector is not wearing his phylacteries today, but they were worn by Jewish men during daily prayers. Love the Lord your God. Whatever you do with your hands, whatever you think with your mind, be guided by the authority of God's word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, I'm not sure whether when this man is talking to Jesus, he's actually wearing his phylacteries. He could be, because in Jerusalem we met many Orthodox Jews who were wearing these phylacteries. And Jesus is pointing to something that they say every day. Dave mentioned the word hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that word hear in Hebrew is Shema. And the Jews understood the Shema as the repetition in prayer of these very words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything that you've got. And it's like Jesus, if the man is wearing his phylacteries, it's almost like Jesus saying, the greatest commandment are the ones that you have in your little leather boxes, the ones that you pray every single day of your life, morning and night, as all Orthodox Jews recited the Shema. So Jesus is probably saying, look no further than your daily liturgy, your morning and your evening prayer where you declare that the Lord your God is one. Later on, in actual fact, Jesus has something to say which is quite critical of the very people who wear these phylacteries. In Matthew 23 and 5, he says this regarding the Pharisees. Do what they teach you, but don't practice what they do. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is to be done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels long. As the New Living Translation puts it, everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with the scriptures in them. Can you just imagine that? You're just a common Orthodox Jew with your phylacteries, but along comes one with the big boxes, you know? Look at me, hey, look at the phylacteries. That's a phylactery, not these little things. But you know, if we just stop for a moment and think, isn't it easy for our liturgy, for our prayer, to become empty ritual, where we go through the motions, but there's no heart, there's no mind, and it's a meaningless ritual. So Jesus is saying the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything you have. Now, what does that look like? What does that look like for you? What does it look like for me? Do I love the Lord with all my heart? The Jewish understanding of the heart, of course, was not just the organ within our body that keeps us alive when it's beating. For the Jew, the heart was your whole inner being, everything about you, your mind, the way you think, your soul, your passion inside. So I suppose the challenge for me and maybe for you too is to review our lives in the light of what Jesus said to that young lawyer. Do I love the Lord like that? Maybe you can say, well, Ian, I once did, but my love for the Lord has grown cold. With all that has gone on in my life, I have to say that I maybe have neglected the fire of God's love, and I'm no longer as passionate or as on fire for the Lord as I once was. Can I tell you, I have gone through those times when I know that my love for the Lord has not been as deep and as alive as it once was. It can also happen to a church, for a church, not just the people in the church, but for a church to neglect the love of God. A church can be a place of empty ritual and prayer that is offered to God with no real passion, no real love. And we're reminded in Revelation 2, when John writes, or Jesus speaks through John to the church at Ephesus, a really good church, very hardworking, did well in so many things. But the Lord said this, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not, and you have discovered that they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. And then he goes on, but, do you like that but? You know, when you hear the word but, you go, oh, your heart sinks. Oh, that was a great sermon, minister. But, oh no, what is it? What's going to come next? But, says the Lord, I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. So not only ourselves, but our churches, our fellowships can lose that vital, passionate, fiery love for God. Jesus then goes on. So if I'm struggling with my love for God, here comes the big one. Love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments are inextricably woven together. You can't say you love God if you don't love others, and you can't love others unless you have the love of God. You can't say love God in the one hand, but on the other hand, don't love your neighbor. And it is out of your love for the Lord and his filling of your heart with that love that you can love others. Many times I've said, Lord, I know I'm a difficult person to love, So help people to love me anyway. But Lord, I'm finding that person really hard to love. Give me your love with which I can love them. The Epistle of John says, doesn't it? 1 John 2 and verse 7, dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one that you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. And in 2 John 1 and 5, I am writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning, referring right back to Moses' time and underlined so powerfully by Jesus. The interesting thing was, see, love the Lord your God, see, love your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't in the phylacteries. It wasn't in their wee leather boxes. But Jesus brings it into play. And you know, if you look at Leviticus 19 when you get home or later in the week, you will see that when Moses says, love your neighbor, he is not talking about an emotion. Oh, I like him, you know, oh, I like her. Oh, I get on really well with him. He's not talking about an emotion. He is talking about how to love your neighbor by obeying God. That whole chapter is about what you should do for your neighbor and what you shouldn't do for your neighbor. And remember in Luke 10, verse 25, another teacher comes up to Jesus. Jesus is always getting asked questions, isn't he? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replies, what is written in the law? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus says, spot on. Who is my neighbor? Who is God telling me to love? So Jesus then, after that, gives them the parable of the Good Samaritan. It wasn't the priest who offered to help. He was on his way to do his religious duty in the temple. It wasn't the Levite. He was also off to do his religious duties, not wanting to help. It was this Samaritan, the kind of people you don't talk to, the kind of people you usually hate, the kind of people who are despised. That is your neighbor, says Jesus. Show kindness. Go out of your way to help them. Show the love of God in practical way. That comes out of a heart full of love for God. However, it's never easy to love your neighbor. To love God, to me, is no chore. My big problem is the neighbor next door. It's hard. To love them, you must forgive them. It's never easy. And let me say that the number one thing I have often struggled with when loving people who maybe have hurt me is the whole area of forgiveness. When I have been maybe hurt by stinging words of criticism or other things, I find forgiveness is not easy, but forgiveness is a choice. You may not like the person, but you choose to forgive the person. I remember, forgive me for indulging in a personal anecdote, but I remember way back in 1995, my wife Heather and I and our three-year-old son Daniel flew to Canada, in Toronto to be exact. There was something happening in a church there in Toronto, and it was called the Toronto Blessing. And our church sent us out there for refreshment and rest. We were really exhausted at that time in our ministry. And we were there for about a week, and one of the messages that impacted me, in fact, I would say for that whole week, Nothing really touched me other than this one message from the head pastor, the lead pastor, John Arnott, when he was preaching on forgiveness. And later on, John Arnott came to Clan Gathering in St. Andrews, and he preached not quite the same sermon, but he preached on the same topic on forgiveness. And that year in Clan Gathering for us was a time of really a very difficult time for us. We were hurting very badly, and we were exhausted, and I was struggling with some conflicts in my church and some difficult people I had to deal with and forgive. And I said to my wife Heather, I can't do this. I can't go on. I need to resolve this area of forgiving in my heart. I need to just leave the church. I need to leave West Hill. And so we went to Clan Gathering, and all I said was, Lord, have you got a word for me? And John Arnott stood up and he began to make once again a deep impression on me. What he said about forgiveness, he said this: when you forgive someone who has hurt you, you are giving that person a gift that they don't deserve, just as Jesus gave you a gift that you didn't deserve. And then it sunk very powerfully in me. Forgiving did not mean that what they did was okay. It wasn't. And forgiving didn't dismiss my pain, because I was saying, God, don't you realize the pain? It doesn't. But by giving them a gift, that gift that they don't deserve, I could move on and be free from any bitterness and all the stuff that filled my mind. I can tell you that was a significant change in my life and in my ministry. So I guess there are some people here today who have been hurt, and maybe who struggle, and you struggle to love those who have hurt you. I totally get that. And I wonder if this might help you in some way. Could you possibly give them a gift that they don't deserve? Could you possibly say, Lord, help me to do to them what you have done to me? Lord, help me. Help me to forgive. So the question for me and for you and for our community, a community of believers, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. So God knows the struggles that we go through. In loving God, I remember a time when sometimes, you know, we put our leaders on a pedestal and think they are more than human. They don't struggle with things that the people in their congregation struggle with. But I know in my own life that revelation of the love that God has for me and how he has forgiven me has helped me to love my neighbor as myself. So love your neighbor. Be the good Samaritan. Let God reignite the love you have for him. And maybe we could just think about that as we just close with a prayer. Let me read once again what Jesus said. And as I read it, maybe just the only thing we do is just to say, Lord, could you reignite my love for you and my love for others? You know all about me. You know everything that I have gone through. You know my life back to front. And you have loved me unconditionally. Help me, Lord. The most important of of all the commandments is this: the Lord Yahweh our God is one. You are to love the Lord Yahweh your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. Can you say yes to all four of those things? Passion of my heart, energy of my being, every thought within me, and all of my strength. And love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, for demonstrating that love through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. We thank you that your love is a love that will not let us go. We pray today that you will once again fill our hearts with a fresh passion and love for you and for your word. Forgive us if we have allowed our love for you to grow cold. We ask you, reignite your love within us and set our hearts on fire with love for you. We ask you to help us love one another as you have commanded. Forgive us when we fail to love one another in the way you desire. We confess that we struggle at times to forgive those who have hurt us, but help us to give them a gift of forgiveness they don't deserve, just as you have given us your gift of forgiveness that we don't deserve. And Father, please fill our hearts and fill our church, fill our fellowship with more of your love. Pour out your love upon all who serve here, all those who gather in groups, all those who worship here at St. Thomas's. Help our church to be so filled with your love that we have that passion to reach out to those in our community with your love. Father, fill us so that we may bring your love to the broken, the lost, the poor, the rejected, the lonely. And may, in reaching them with your love, may they discover the God who loves them. Hear this prayer as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.